listening to the Night Demon Network. Go to nightdemon.net/subscriber to unlock more exclusive content.
Buzz. Every weeknight, it's Buzz After Dark.
You like that?
With Eric Steele.
Hang out with me Monday through Friday from 7 to midnight for the Buzz After Dark. It's kind of like the Titanic, except instead of 3 hours to sink, it takes 5 hours.
Freaks come out at night, that's for sure. The Buzz After Dark.
After Dark.
All night long.
Awesome tunes, clothing optional.
Hope you enjoyed the ride.
Weeknight 7 to midnight on 102.9 The Buzz.
Nashville's rock station.
Night Demon fans and friends, we are calling upon you to get Welcome to the Night added to rotation on 102.9 The Buzz. Text the Buzz hotline at area code 615-399-1029 to request Night Demon's Welcome to the Night. That's area code 615-399-1029. You know what to do.
Hello, and welcome to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. I'm your host, Nesbitt. In this episode, we're going to discuss one of my favorite Night Demon tracks, a very unique song in the Night Demon catalog. It kind of shows a different dimension of the band. It's the title track from the Darkness Remains album. This is episode number 29, Darkness Remains. This song, Darkness Remains, it's unlike any other Night Demon song. It's sort of a 3-4 ballad right at the end of the album. And even though it has clean guitars and it's a bit slower, the song is still very heavy. And what I mean by that is it feels heavy. The lyrics and the melody, it has this heaviness to it, which is pretty cool. A lot of people think metal has to be heavy and pounding to be heavy, but this one is every bit as heavy as anything else on the album. Heavier, maybe. But it does it in a different way. Here's the members of Night Demon, Armand, Dusty, and Jarvis.
So this is a Jarvis composition. I mean, pretty much everything from top to bottom. It was something that was floating around. When I was learning the songs, we were working on the new stuff. They obviously had some things, most of the stuff kind of written already. Riffs, songs, when I joined the band. And that was something I think, I don't know if it was ever decided if that was for sure going to be on the record. It was kind of one of those songs that I think Jarvis had been toying around. Maybe he wasn't sure how he felt about putting a song like that on the record, because there's never been a song like that for the band, you know. It's pretty, like, new territory as far as, like, a really kind of ballady, somber thing with a lot of clean guitars and that kind of thing. So, I mean, even when we recorded it, you know, I hadn't even learned it yet at that point. I mean, I kind of knew it, you know, I mean, it's pretty simple, the structure of it, but we just hadn't really spent much time focusing on that. For me, at least, it was all kind of new to me until we recorded it. But it's good. I like it's a sign for me of maturity to, first of all, have the balls to do a song like this, especially in a scene where there's a lot of bravado and macho kind of shit going around, where it's like, oh, you know, fucking everything's got to be fast and thrash and we got to do this. But, you know, I think that's what's great about this band is that we're a level above, I think, just kind of a thrash band or a metal band per se that, you know, we can branch out and do things like this. We can do a song that has a big fucking symphonic ending, you know, and like a 3-4 swing kind of thing, you know, like, why not? Let's do it. Because not everybody's doing that kind of shit in our scene. So I think that's another one of those things that helps us stand out from the pack.
Jarvis had the idea for the main kind of 3-4 feel, that waltzy feel in the dark vibe and the eerie presence and all that, and coming up with that guitar hook, the and I knew that it, once that hook part of that riff came in the big part of the song, really took it to the next level.
As far as the writing of the song, I pretty much wrote the whole thing, actually. And the way it came about, again, I think I just wanted to have a song on the record that was a complete departure from everything else that we were doing, but in a nice way. And when Brent was in the band, we weren't really doing a lot of ballads or... we weren't expanding as much as I'd liked. And so I brought this song to the band near the tail end of his tenure, and I'd kind of worked it out. And on the demo version, I play everything on it. I think there's actually, Dusty plays like some pretty simple drums on it, but it was basically us in the practice space.
I remember working on it collectively together, and it was kind of hard for me because it took me a minute to wrap my head around it and to keep it simple.
And I just played guitar with him and we just recorded it live in the jam room with one mic. You know, I went home and layered a bass on it and some more guitars and kind of worked out the solo. I remember working out the solo to this song on one of the tours we were on, and then a lot when I came home from that. But it was just cool. I mean, I don't know. I think in my mind, I wanted to always do some kind of like epic Scorpions type ballad or something. And this did not come out that way at all. But it came out very Night Demon, and it came out a lot darker than I think anything like a band like that would do. And so I'm really proud of it.
Well, if you listen to the early demos, you can really hear the bare bones of the track before all the bells and whistles are put on or all of the final ideas are actually put down and really etched in stone.
If you'd like to hear the full demos for Darkness Remains and a whole bunch of other Night Demon songs, they're in the subscriber section, nightdemon.net.
We really had the idea that we wanted to push the envelope with Darkness Remains as a record and, you know, the whole record as a whole. The transition from Brent to Armand, the collaboration of Jarvis Brett and I writing these songs, and then Armand coming in and putting his stamp of approval on things and really adding his flavor to the band. I think it was the right time for us to write a song like this and to put it out on a record like that. We had to go into different territory. You know, there were so many times early on where people would just box us up into this new wave of British heavy metal, you know, flag flyers. And yeah, we are to a certain extent, but we're also our own band, and we also really like to like our own songs. So to do something like this and to really flip the coin and say, hey, you know, it could either go one way or the other, we stuck true to what we wanted that record to be, and this song was a big part of that. And the fact that it came out as a positive influence to our fans and a positive experience and something that people look forward to even live, it's really cool. You know, I didn't really expect it to turn out as well as it did with the reception of the fans, but it really, really spoke through and really resonated with our fans. So that's a big thing. And that's great that we stuck to our guns. And, you know, even when Jarvis thought he was crazy for writing a song like this, you know, I was there to just be like, dude, I don't see how people are going to not like this song.
Metal Blade Records presents the return of heavy metal legends Armored Saint with their 8th full-length album, Punching the Sky. A diverse, attitude-drenched collection, it's everything the band's faithful have come to expect from them while pushing their signature sound forward. Featuring 11 hard-hitting tracks available on double LP and Digipak CD. Right now, Metal Blade Records is giving all Night Demon Heavy Metal podcast listeners a 15% store-wide discount on all Metal Blade releases and merchandise, including this masterpiece from Armored Saint. Go to indiemerch.com/Metal Blade Records and enter promo code NDPODCAST at checkout. This store is loaded with tons of swag from some of the best bands in metal, like Midnight, Cirith Ungol, Merciful Fate, Angel Witch, Satan, and of course, the mighty Armored Saint. That's indiemerch.com/Metal Blade Records, promo code NDPODCAST. So march like a saint and take the last train home. Can you deliver?
This track is the title track to the 2017 album Darkness Remains. So you might be wondering what came first, the track or the album title? Was this album named after the track, or was this track written as the title track for the already titled album?
I think by the time Armand joined the band, we had already pretty much had the majority of the songs already written as far as the skeleton goes. I know he came in and worked on Black Widow because that was like his brainchild, but majority of the stuff had already been done. And we also worked on Life on the Run together, but Darkness Remains was already pretty much already composed by the time Armand joined the band. And I believe around that time we had the title. That's something that Jarvis would really be able to pinpoint.
The song title Darkness Remains came before the album title. We were toying with a lot of different ideas for the album title. I think City Hell was mentioned a lot as the title, but we didn't think that very fitting in the end. Obviously depicted in the cover art, you can see the A in City Hall on the building is crossed out, or is spray painted over in red spray paint with an E, so it does say City Hell. So there is a nod to that on the cover, but Darkness Remains, the title for the album, officially came after the song.
But I guess it is cool when you have a song that's kind of like a mission statement of the record or something like that, and it's just part of the album and the name of the album.
I think the importance of title tracks on albums, I think it had a lot more importance probably back in the day. I think, you know, the old formula used to be that bands had to make a record so that they can go on the road, and that the record company has something to promote so that the record company can pay for the band to be on the road, what they call tour support. And so one hand washes the other. The band goes out on the road and promotes the album. Then the album sells. Record company can pay for the band to be on tour, be on big tours, have big productions. A lot of times, you know, back in the day, I think touring was looked at as more of a promotional expense. And nowadays, with album sales waning and labels not giving tour support, touring is now the main income stream for the bands. And that's why you've seen concert tickets go way up and way through the roof. I mean, if you look at prices of shows from the 70s and even the early to mid 80s, I mean, like some of that stuff is like $5, $10. You know, it's crazy for like arena shows or stadium shows. So I think back in those days, it was kind of like the title track was the single. Or if you kind of look at maybe our favorite bands, like we always come back to Iron Maiden, but, you know, I think almost every album that they have, you know, the title track has been the album title, with the exception of Peace of Mind. And Somewhere in Time, Caught Somewhere in Time was the opening track to that. But, I mean, I think usually, I mean, most of that stuff would just kind of go off of the lead. It doesn't even have to be the single, but I guess like the leading track on the record would kind of have a theme. And then the album title would follow that and the cover art would follow. And that would happen with a lot of bands, a lot of different artists. I think we kind of just followed in that trend in some way. I mean, we briefly talked about Curse of the Damned being starting out as a concept album, but Darkness Remains actually started out as that too. And we'll get into that in future episodes, I'm sure. But, I mean, really the title track, you know, being the last track on the album, you know, usually that would be the single is usually track two, and, or the title track of the album is either track one or two. We thought it was interesting to make it the last track, but really there's a trilogy of songs on this record. Welcome to the Night, Life on the Run, and Darkness Remains that tells a story. So we wanted to space them out on the album between the first song, the middle song, and the last song. So that's the reason for that. Well, there's more reasons for it. It's the style of song that it is too. But all in all, I guess the short answer is that I don't really believe in title tracks anymore. I don't. I think that we were maybe playing that game just because that's how it was traditionally done and that's kind of how it's quote-unquote supposed to be. But these days, it's just the Wild West and anything goes. And if Night Demon does a title track on another record, I honestly, I would actually be surprised if we did at this point.
So like Jarvis mentioned, not only is this track the title track for the album, it's also the album closer. And I gotta say, it closes the album perfectly.
So as far as this song being the album closer, we've kind of had a tradition, well, starting with Curse of the Damned, with, you know, we closed that album with Save Me Now. So we've decided to have this kind of tradition of ending our albums with not necessarily the most epic song, but the most experimental song, or maybe the song with the farthest departure. I think with Save Me Now, you know, at the time, I felt like we were taking a risk by doing a song like that. That was a more AOR type of song, or I don't want to say a power ballad. And by far, it wasn't that. And neither is Darkness Remains. But it was definitely a departure from the straight ahead headbanging metal. And we thought it was cool to do that as the final track on the album. And really just that, you know, to just leave the listener with a good feeling or a deep feeling, something to think about. And so with Darkness Remains, we decided to do the same thing and continue that tradition. And so we decided to put it at the end of the album. But also, like I mentioned, with the storyline, it's the last part of a trilogy of songs that tells the story of Darkness Remains. So it did need to go at the end anyway.
This one, I think, is cool because, well, first off, you know, time signature-wise, the intro is in 3/4. That means there's three-quarter notes per measure. It's kind of like a waltzy feel. So the intro on the record is in 3/4, the intro to actually Welcome to the Night. And then Darkness Remains, which ends the record, is also in 3-4. People could say it's either 3-4 or 6-8. It's got that waltz feel, and you can count, you know, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, or you can count 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I believe it's the only song that we have in 3-4, which is kind of unique, and it gives it that creepy vibe. You know, anytime you do like a mid-tempo kind of odd time signature, it gives it that really eerie ambiance and really sets the mood. So anybody who doesn't really know about time signatures, it's something that you can really listen to and say, oh, okay, cool, I get what he's saying. You know, it kind of brings everything full circle, and it really gives it that epic feel, you know? So I think it was a really cool song to do in that spot.
Dusty points out something cool about this album. The time signature of the intro to the first track and the time signature of the closing track are the same. They're in 3-4, which is a great way to kind of clue up the album with the same feeling as the opening. And it kind of does bring things full circle. And another thing I noticed about this Darkness Remains album is the album starts with a keyboard intro, which we dug into in the Welcome to the Night episode. So the album begins with keyboards in the intro, and it also ends in the outro with keyboards, which perfectly bookends the album. I thought it was a really cool decision to make the album seem kind of cohesive, kind of like how Seventh Son begins and ends with that acoustic part. I thought it was a cool decision that the band made, but apparently not.
The fact that the album opens with keys and ends with keys is really cool. Kind of coincidence thing. I don't think it was anything we really... It wasn't anything I was conscious of writing the record. It was just this, you know, it was the right way to open and close the record. Yeah, how cool is that? Interesting. I never even thought about it that way, but I really love the fact that it does do that.
I never really noticed that the album opens and closes with keyboards. That is kind of weird for a hard rocking heavy metal band, right? But at least it's cool and it sounds somber and somewhat evil. I really dig that. That's actually something I'm glad that was pointed out to me, because that's not something that I would have tried to do consciously, but not knowing it is actually a good sign, because the album still in my mind is still a very big piece in the new heavy metal scene. And it definitely holds some weight and some heaviness, despite opening and closing with keyboards.
All hail, Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. This is Dusty Squires chiming in to tell you about my brand new signature sticks from the London Drumstick Company. I've dreamt of having my very own drumsticks ever since I was a wee lad, and LDC made that a possibility for me. Founded in 2016 in London, England, the birthplace of heavy metal, the London Drumstick Company has trailblazed a path through the music industry and taken the drummer world by storm. When I met them for the first time, they knew their product was going to withstand the beatings of a Night Demon show. They took the time to work with me on getting everything just right. The balance and weight of my sticks are the same no matter what, and the durability is, bar none, the best I've ever had. I know my sticks will last through the set night after night. I'm truly honored to work with a company that caters to their players the way LDC does. Their innovation and attention to detail is what separates them from the rest of the stick makers out there. Their custom stick sleeves are unbelievable and really make the entire presentation complete. Wait until you see the design they came up with for me. It blew my mind and was a surprise to say the least. They have all kinds of amazing swag, including hoodies, t-shirts, drummer shorts, drum keys, stick bags, towels, face masks, practice pads, and much, much more. Even if you're not a drummer, you can be a part of Demon history and order my brand new signature sticks direct from their website. How cool is that? And to top it off, the London Drumstick Company are giving an exclusive offer to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. Go to londondrumsticks.co.uk and receive a 15% store-wide discount using promo code DEMONSTICKS. All capital letters, no spaces, DEMONSTICKS. DEMONSTICKS. I can't thank everyone there enough for the opportunity to be a part of their family and for them trusting me with their amazing products. See you metal maniacs on the road very soon. And yes, the wood chips will be flying.
The music for that track was recorded at Bright Mountain Studios at our buddy Joe's place, recorded by Roger Camaro. That was like, I remember doing drum tracks there, kind of getting it all down, then, you know, layered the bass on and then layered guitars. The vocals were done at the captain's quarters at Armand Studio. After the fact, you know, after all the music was already recorded, they ended up doing the vocals X amount of time later. And then the keys at the end was a subbed out gig for one of our friends in Mexico.
The keyboard part at the end was played by our good friend Ron Baldwin. I've been friends with Ron, God, basically, well, you know, actually, since I remember meeting Ron going into high school, right? The first year of high school, we played in our first band together, a band called Black Opal, a metal band. And he was just such a great guitar player. He was light years ahead of any of us, and he was such a great musician. And we stayed friends throughout the years, and we actually ended up doing another band later on called Monster Hand. We ended up living together in this house called the Monster House, and we built a studio in there, and that was really cool. That was some good fun times in our lives. But, you know, Ron is just such a great musician, and he has a master's degree in composition. So anytime I really have any advice on some complex piece of music, I like to tap on him because he just knows these things. He's done film scoring and all kinds of stuff like that. But for this one, we just had him come into the captain's quarters, and we just said, hey, you know, here's this song that we're working on. And actually, I think it was pretty much done at that point. We wanted to fade the music out, and I showed him the progression, and Armand came up with this kind of keyboard sound. And Ron was just he's a great composer, and he's a really good piano player, actually. And so we just had him riff on it, and we went back and forth with different ideas until we got it to the place that we wanted to. And we just had him play it because his proficiency on the instrument is just so much better than ours. Although, you know, I've done some keys, and Armand's done some on the records, and he's got even more on the stuff we have coming up, you know, so he can play too. But it was just great to get Ron in there. Ron has a much more classical sense, and it was good. Kind of the descending lines that he does on there was just a really cool thing that actually he came up with that part. And so that was fucking great.
Thank you.
Yeah, the keyboard stuff was cool. Our good buddy Ron Baldwin, he wrote the parts, and we just let him kind of come up with some stuff. He's a really good musician. He's a really smart musician. He's a real musician, you know. We're musicians, but he's a real musician. So he came up with that shit, and it's fucking awesome. I love it. I think it's really cool. The fade out thing. I think the string thing, it just, once we got that keyboard part, the strings in there, I don't think we had that idea. I don't think the idea of fading it out was always there. I think it inspired us. Once we heard it, it was like, fuck, you know, yeah, this thing's going to be behind a ripping solo and this heavy guitars and the heavy drums and all that. And we thought it was, I thought it was too beautiful to just leave it like that. So that's what inspired the idea of fading out the band, but letting the strings go. And again, I think it's another kind of, you know, unorthodox thing for a band like us to do. And that's cool and awesome. And I love doing that kind of shit and showing people that we can do more than just bang our heads for 3 minutes, you know. Sign of maturity, right? And musical maturity. And so that's kind of how that came together. Thanks, Ron. You really killed it on that one.
Here's Ron Baldwin on recording the keyboards on this track. And he also has a very interesting, very cool, unknown fact about this song.
So Jarvis and I met through playing music back in high school. We played in a metal band freshman and sophomore year and have stayed friends ever since. We've played in different projects over the years, lived together for a few years in our late 20s, and always been a part of each other's lives in some way. And so I was excited to get a call from Jarvis about possibly writing a small part for the Night Demon album they were working on, Darkness Remains, on the title track. And at the time, I think they were pretty much finished. I got the mix, and it might have been a rough mix, but everything was there. Amran's guitar solo was there. It was pretty much finished. And they had the idea that there would be a synthy or a string part that sort of supported the outro of the song. And then the band would sort of fade and this part would remain and finish things out. And so that was sort of the instruction that I was given. And the part was written on piano at home. And I called Jarvis when I, you know, had an idea of basically how I thought I wanted it to go. And so I met him and Armand at the captain's quarters, Armand's studio. And the session is pretty fuzzy in my memory. We met just after 4 o'clock, so I can't remember every detail, but I remember it was very quick. I came in with the part. Armand had everything set up already. I laid it down in maybe 2 takes or something, and that was it. I sort of expected us to hash through it or expected the guys to want some changes or to overdub some layers or something, but I think what I played is exactly what appears on the album. And it was a very fast-paced session, which is, I think, typical of Night Demon, less is more sort of approach, which is cool. The whole trio aspect and everything ties into that. I dig that.
What is up, Night Demon Heavy Metal podcast listeners? This is your resident motor mouth, Jarvis Leatherby, telling you about something very, very special here. The Decibel Hall of Fame Anthology Volume 3. This is a book, guys. That's right. We all know Decibel Magazine as the number one metal magazine in North America for many years running. But you know what? They also have a fucking killer book series, okay? I want to tell you about this. The Decibel Hall of Fame Anthology Volume 3. This limited edition hardcover includes 25 Hall of Fame stories from Decibel's revered monthly series of artist interviews on the making of their classic extreme music albums. Featured in this book are stories behind classic albums such as Stained Glass by Judas Priest, apocalyptic raids from our good buddy Tom Warrior's Hellhammer, Pleasure to Kill from Teutonic German Terror creator, Court in the Act from the legendary new wave of British heavy metal gods, Satan, and of course, Abigail from the legendary King Diamond, and last but not least, Night Demon's personal favorite, Heartwork from the only other band from Liverpool, Carcass. So guys, please head on over right now to store.decibelmagazine.com and grab a copy to read the definite stories of heavy metal's definitive albums. Put in the promo code NIGHTDEMON upon checkout to receive 10% off. That's NIGHTDEMON, one word, all capital letters. Get your 10% store.decibelmagazine.com. While you're there, guys, go ahead and grab a subscription of the Mag 2. They've got a great vinyl flexi series. Do yourselves a favor here. Get on the level. store.decibelmagazine.com. Promo code Night Demon. See ya.
But as far as the part itself, the song's in A flat minor for, you know, most of the song. And then the part that I wrote at the very end sort of devolves, descending sort of through a few different chords down to E flat minor. So there's this modulation that serves a couple of purposes. Not only is E flat minor sort of like the darkest key, but I wanted to end it on something that could tie into one of the other songs on the album, possibly. And I don't know if any Night Demon fans out there have figured this out or not yet, but I'll give away a little Easter egg. If you start the first track of the album, now this goes for the original release, that For Darkness Remains is the last track on the album. If you start the first track, Welcome to the Night, at exactly 4 minutes and 20 seconds into Darkness Remains, and you sort of do a crossfade between the two parts are complementary. And so you could seamlessly loop the album by laying those two tracks on top of each other and crossfading. And I always dug that kind of thing. And, you know, when I hear stuff like that, you know, with bands I loved growing up, I always thought that type of thing was cool. So there's a little something fun for any Pro Tools nerds out there to try. But anyway, thank Night Demon for letting me be a small part of this song, and I look forward to what's next.
So here is the outro of Darkness Remains combined with the intro to the album. And you can hear that it does flow like seamlessly together. It's a really cool detail, and you know, it really brings the whole album together. It's really cool. I had never noticed this before until Ron Baldwin sent this clip. So check this out. Thank you.
Once I heard the final track mixed and mastered and on the album, it was much better than I ever expected the song to be, honestly. Really, I listened to the album in its entirety from start to finish. So when I got to that point and the way that it ended with that epic solo from Armand and the string section on the keys coming in at the end and the fade in and the fade out, it's just the absolute perfect way to end the album. And to have to keep the tradition of ending a Night Demon album with a very emotionally driven track, I think was a good move. And it's definitely something that we want to keep on. It's also become one of those songs that we just play live a lot more now. Any headlining set will definitely do it. It's just a great song to take everything down a notch for a minute. I mean, it's always been a great ender to our set before an encore. But, you know, even on support tours, like when we toured with Sacred Reich, I mean, we were the support band, but that would be our second to last song. So we would kind of, I don't know, I guess force an encore. I mean, we wait back there and make for 10 or 15 minutes. You know, I hate when bands do that. I mean, obviously we know our time, like we have 45 minutes on stage. So we'll just come right back out after the song's over and go into Night Demon or something, or, you know, whatever the closer is, which usually is Night Demon. So I can really see this song being in the set for many, many years to come. It's just such a great song for us to bring it back down and have that emotional tone. I think it's because it's always been at the end of the shows live, before that first encore. I think that's just because we always associate it with it being the end of the album. It has, you know, now that it is the last track, it has that ending feel to us anyway. So it'd be interesting to see what would happen if we inject it into the middle of the set somewhere in the future. But definitely, more Darkness Remains, more songs like this, more diversity. That's exactly what we're striving for with this band, and we're going to continue to push that forward.
So that is it for this week. Next week, we're going to finish off talking about Darkness Remains, including recording the song, the meaning behind the lyrics, the vocal effects, and the epic guitar solos. As always, be sure to check out the subscriber section on nightdemon.net for bonus content, including full-length demos, instrumental versions, and more. You know where to go. Until next time, this is Nesbitt signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. Head over to nightdemon.net, click on the subscriber tab, and sign up to access exclusive weekly bonus content. If you would like to donate to support the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast, you can do so through PayPal at paypal.me/nightdemonmetal. Additionally, if you have not already done so, please subscribe, like, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Unbearable suspense keeps you on the edge of an abyss of terror.
Take a cult film odyssey into cinemadness with Cinematic Void. Based in Los Angeles, Cinematic Boy is a film series that specializes in horror and exploitation films. Currently, we are hosting Cinematic Void Up All Night in the Cinemadness Movie, a monthly virtual screening series, as well as the Cinematic Void podcast, where we dive deeper into the world of cult cinema. You can find Cinematic Void on the World Wide Web at cinematicvoid.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you like what we do, you can support Cinematic Void by joining our Patreon. Until next time, see you in the void.